Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of bbfohio.com as we begin our study in Colossians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, titled Faith, Love, and Hope. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, please send those by email to bbbfohio@yahoo.com, or you can send them by U.S. Postal to P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. And now we begin our study in Colossians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, titled Faith, Love, and Hope. This is part 1 of 2. Colossians chapter 1, verses 3 to 5, and similar to her song title, Faith, Love, and Hope. And you'll see the reason we titled it that way is because that's the way it is in the text. In that order, beginning in verse 3. In our first study, we were introduced to Paul, which no stranger to most of us, and then Timothy, and we discussed the city of Colossae, and that's where we left off. So beginning of verse 3, if you're there, go ahead and read with me verses 3 through 5. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. All right, let's pray. Father, we are so thankful for this time in your word and for Jesus. And as we will see, this truth of the gospel and the faith, love, and hope that we have received from you, that it is all of grace, and you alone deserve the glory. And you alone are the reason we understand anything we read in this book. It's not a book of the intellect, it's a book of the Spirit. And by your Spirit, we are given understanding. And we ask for that this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, there, verse 3 begins, we give thanks. We give thanks. And so we ought to give thanks. Amen? And by now, we should take note of how Paul demonstrates such thankfulness to the Lord for his goodness. In every letter Paul writes, there's space given to being thankful. And in this generation, you will stick out like a sore thumb if you're thankful, if you're grateful. Look at the kids these days. They are being raised with a sense of entitlement. But that's actually their nature. I can tell you from the very earliest moments that Mariah came into this world nearly 25 years ago, she had a sense of entitlement. It started with, she could hardly talk even, and she was saying, "Mine." Even when it wasn't hers. "Mine." Gloria. I was just getting ready to say, Gloria is a chip off the old block. What Gloria's nicer about it, though, she'll walk up and grab a hold of something one of the other kids has, and she says, "Please." It's looking at, like, "You're going to give that to me. Please." You don't have to teach that. That's why to find a non-Christian who is truly thankful is a rare thing. Because thankfulness isn't something that comes naturally. It's something that has to be taught. And it can be taught by parents to children. But as adults, you'll see that kind of wane unless they have the Spirit of God in them, making them thankful. And that's in contrast to our own age. Paul, very thankful, always giving thanks. In our age, is described by Paul in 2 Timothy. If you turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 3, just a few pages in most of your Bibles. Excuse me, 2 Timothy chapter 3. How many of you believe we're in the last days? Amen. Well, then when you see it, verse 1 says, "This know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come." Then look around, because we're in the last days. Perilous times have come. "Men shall be lovers of their own selves." That's just not a statement of fact. You just go to the bookstore. Go to the magazine rack. The magazines and books are all about telling you to love yourself. Self magazine. For heaven's sake, I mean, you can't get much clearer than that. That's why I'm so shocked right now with what we're going. We're sitting under, you know, the Trump presidency and everything. And I've thought about it, and some of what his message is may appeal to this self. And so some of the people who voted for him, I think, might have been drawn by that. But man, I mean, the previous president we had 8 years was a narcissistic, self-absorbed egomaniac. And so I thought, well, after Obama, what are we going to get? And I thought, well, we're probably going to get Hillary. And the fact that we didn't get Hillary, I'm still in shock. And I still look at the, I'm like, well, is there a sea change going on? You go into the bookstore, it's still all about me. Still all about self. It's only by the grace of God that we're getting a little bit of a reprieve from the socialism and the sodomy that Barack Obama gave to this country. I'm hoping it'll be a long time before our White House is lit up to be a fag flag. But that's what Obama gave us. And we're living in that age. Right now, there are preachers being removed, but there's also just people who leave churches and never come back because that preacher has the audacity to preach the truth. Why? Because this generation doesn't want to hear the truth. Tell me what I want to hear. tell me what I'm seeing on TV and being programmed to believe by the television. Tell me that it's okay to be gay. It's not okay to be gay. Amen. Tell me it's okay to fornicate, shack up. It's not okay. Amen. Tell me it's okay to blaspheme. Tell me it's okay to kill my baby. It's not okay. Amen. But most churches, they don't, maybe a lot of them won't preach in support of that stuff, but they just won't mention it. They won't say anything about it. Why? Because they're looking at a bunch of self-loving fools, and they don't want to offend the fools, because then the pews will empty out and the offerings will go down, and we can't have that, because then I won't be able to buy my boat and have my vacation. That's the motivation behind a lot of preachers today behind this pulpit in other churches. Not in this one. But in a pulpit just like this in other churches, they're motivated by the pragmatism of making sure they keep the pews full and keep the coffers full, so their bank account is full. Well, I'm here to tell you that I don't care if the only person in the room was Jenny and Doug, or Jenny and whoever, because I know Jenny will be here. I'm pretty sure we got some people who'll be here. But I'm just saying, if it emptied out and there are only two people in here, I'm not going to change this message because I'm not coming up with it. I'm preaching the Word of God. Amen. Covetous, boasters, proud. Now look at that. The Bible says if you're proud, you're a part of the end time apostasy, and yet you're told by the world to be proud. You're told every year to go down to Columbus and walk naked through the streets and be proud of being a sodomite. Proud, pride, pride, yes. No, God says you're disgusting. Amen. If you're proud. Disobedient to parents. We heard from Janie, you heard it from me, you'll hear from other parents today whose the kids are, I mean, there's always been that to an extent, but man, what's going on today? The rebellion. And you talk to, for the first time, I think, in American history, almost a majority of this generation coming up is socialist. Why is that? Because they're rebellious. They are rebelling against everything that this country has been since its founding. They're rebelling against God's Word. This book is not a socialist book. Amen. This book does not encourage you to establish governments that control property and control your language and control your guns and everything else. That's not God's way. Go look at under the Mosaic Law, you get in trouble for blaspheming. There were certain things you couldn't do, just like today we couldn't walk into a busy theater and yell fire unless there's a fire. There were those kind of rules, but under Mosaic Law, your property was your property. God believed in it so much that even if you tried to give it away, every Jubilee you had to take it back. He was all about private property and not socialism. And so forth and so on. But it continues and says, what? After disobedient to parents, what's the next word? Look at your Bible. Disobedient to parents and what? Unthankful. Right in there with the rest of this stuff I was talking about. Unthankful. Unholy. Without natural affection. What's that? That's a mother that'll kill her baby. Those are children who don't love their parents. Those are men with men having sex, claiming to be married. Women with women having sex and claiming to be married. All that. Unnatural. Without natural affection. Truce breakers. False accusers. Incontinent. Fierce. Despisers of those that are good. And that's just a fact. If you're a decent person today and you're not a fornicating blasphemer, etc., people can't stand you. If you won't get drunk, tell the dirty jokes, go along with the filth, you don't get invited to family gatherings a lot of times. Oh, me. Yeah, that's the generation we're in. Traitors. Heady. High-minded. Now look at that last phrase there. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. That's why a lot of people are in this church building this morning. And this isn't reflecting on anyone in particular as far as people who regularly attend here. I mean, there's people who haven't been here in weeks and months because
Sunday's their day to do what they want to do. Sunday's their day. They get to sleep in. And then they get to go somewhere and do this and do that, you know.
That, why? They love pleasures more than they love God. So they can't take out a couple of hours of their Sunday. And a lot of people won't come to this church because they want to go to that church down the road where they can go in at 10 a.m. and be out at 10:40. There's everyone in town. Go look at it. They give you the list. They have one service at 9, another one at 10, another one at 11. One's contemporary, one's traditional, or whatever. In and out in less than 45 minutes. Catholic Church, that's right. And they even have a Saturday night mass for the people who want to sleep in on Sunday. I know guys who'd go out to the bars and then go to the mass half soused and go in and, you know, and then they'd go out and party some more and then sleep in Sunday morning. Yeah. Lewis says in verse 5, though, read that with me. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Boy, that's a hard pill to swallow right there. That's why we don't, I'm just going to tell you straight up truth, we don't fellowship with a bunch of churches around here, and I don't hang out with the preachers. Why? Because if I'm hanging around some guy who doesn't really have any faith in the Word, he likes to golf more than he does anything, he's all about making money in retirement, he's not about the ministry, what I'm going to do, I'm going to do what the Bible says, I'm going to turn away. And we got churches around here. I get invitations every couple of weeks. These ministerial associations, and I can't remember what they call the local one. And then you go there, and they got some Hindu talking, or some Muslim talking, or so, and they're talking about, whoa, we're all just part of one big happy family. Not according to the Bible. The Bible says He gave power to become the sons of God to them that believe on His name. Amen. You're not a son of God just because you're born. Amen. And so, as a Christian, we look around and we see this thankless generation, and we should say to ourselves, you know what, I don't want to be like that. I want to be thankful. And I'm not just talking to God. Of course you should be thankful to God. You should say so. You should be thankful to anybody and everybody contributing to your life. Amen. You should be thankful for a pastor. And that means if I drop dead tomorrow and you get another pastor, it's not Greg Miller I'm talking about. I'm talking about any pastor that you sit under who has the guts to preach the truth in this damned age that we live in today. You should be thankful for that preacher. Amen. I'm thankful for every single one of them, all two of them or three of them or whatever. They're hard to find. Amen. You have some guys who get up there and rail on issues and stuff, but then they're heretical doctrinally, or they're using an NIV or an ESV or something. Says, what? Women in pants. Don't get me started, woman. That's the issue of the day. You want a sign that the Antichrist is near? Look at all the women in here with pants on. That's what you get. Be thankful that I'm not that guy. There you go. You got something to be thankful for. Amen. Back to verse 3. We give thanks to who? First and foremost, it's to God. And it says this, and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Folks, to make God the Father and Jesus the same is absurd and heretical. You have to understand, you have a Father in heaven. And then He sent His Son, who is the eternal Son of God. Amen. He's eternally unchanged. He is God manifest in the flesh, Amen. Jesus Christ. And He sent Him to die in your place. Not just to die for you, like a gesture. You deserve right now to be in a lake of fire. You know that? Everybody in this room, including little Gloria, the cute little babies. Why? Because we are a cursed race. You're born in sin. And by God's grace, I believe it's clear from Scripture that the little babies, until they reach a point they know right from wrong, if they perish, if they die, and that includes the aborted babies, go to be immediately with the Lord.
Amen.
All the preemies that die, all the stillborns, all the miscarriages, all those. But once you become conscious of your need, conscious of your sin, then you become responsible. And you'll hear people talk about the age of accountability. There's no age. It's different for every person. But when you reach that point, the first moment that you do not repent toward God with faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ, you deserve hell. Just think of that. However long you went, I was 19 before I got saved. I believe I knew consciously what was going on by the age of 9 at least. I don't remember before that really having much thought about anything except for mine. But after that, I remember I'd sit in bed at night and kind of think about things and all that. Well, for 10 years then, we'll say a decade, God graciously and mercifully kept me alive until I got saved. So God is gracious and merciful a few billion times a day just by letting unsaved people live another day. Think of that. Programming alert. We will deal more closely with this later in our study of chapter 1. A whole lot more about this, about Jesus and about the Father. We'll come back to it. So we continue where he says, praying always for you. Why? Because he's thankful. If you don't pray for the people in this church, your church family, that just means you're really not thankful for us. I don't have a list, and I don't go through lists and say, dear Lord, I pray for Mariah and Stephen and Charlie and Olivia and Jenny and Nick and Tracy and Tara. And Chris. That's not really praying. But what I do, actually I envision in my mind sometimes what I'm seeing right now. And as I'm praying, I'll think about everybody that comes to my mind. And if I know of a need, if I know something going on in their life, that's what I pray for. And if I don't, I say the obvious. Lord, I have no idea what they may need. I have no idea what's going on in their life, but you do. And I lift them up to you. And now, Charlie.
This is going to take a while.
Jenny. Can you get me some coffee? Because I'm thankful for Charlie. That's why I pray for Charlie. Now, actually, I do pray for Charlie, and there's some things, you know, he has going on, but nothing like it used to be. Nothing like it used to be. My mom says the same thing about me, Charlie. As a matter of fact, don't bring it up. Yeah, she will keep you there for a while telling you about me. Praying always for you. Now, I'm not going to pretend that I'm a monk and I sit at home and you hear me. You drive past my house and you hear me in there going, oh, Lord. You know, it's not like that. But praying always means that, you know, you're just always on my heart and in my mind as my family. And so when I think about you and I pray for you, and now, trust me, my memory's not perfect. There's many times where I'm like, I know there's something I should be praying for. I can't remember what it was. So, Lord, you know. And so then I may see you next time, and I'll say, you know, what was it you were asked for prayer for? Because if I lose my little sheet of paper, I'm in trouble. It's like Paul trying to find this church without Google. Amen? and we all... I didn't say that. MapQuest. That's who I try to use them, and they need to improve. But anyway, when it comes to praying for one another, let's just admit it. We all fail at this, but we should be reminded to make that better effort. Paul, I don't think Paul was perfect. Paul wasn't infallible unless he was writing one of these epistles. That's the only time he was infallible. God gave him these words to give to us. But in his life, and now I'm talking about the apostle, by the way. But the Apostle Paul was a human being. And I'm sure there were times he would wake up in the morning and think, oh, I dozed right off without praying. You know? There's times I'm sure he was listening to someone else preach and he was thinking,
wonder what I'm going to have for dinner. Like, Paul,
this is all in his head. Yeah, stop that. You're supposed to be the apostle Paul. Stop thinking about what you're going to eat. Why? Because he's human. But the question I think God is concerned with when it comes to you, are you making an effort? He's not expecting perfection out of any of us, but are you making an effort? I think that's what God's after. So now in the next two verses, we'll see Paul encourage the Colossians for their, as we titled it, faith, love, and hope. And quickly, I want to move through these just to make the points. He says in verse 4, he begins by saying, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. Now, so obviously, let me say this. This is written to Christians. Don't go handing out the book of Colossians to an unsaved person. That's not really, I would hand the Gospel of John. Well, really, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, any of them. And then after they get that, give them Romans. Of course, that can be really deep, as we're going to find out. But anyway, Colossians is written to Christians. That's why he says he heard of their faith. They're Christians. And let me say this. The church is for Christians, the local church. So if you invite an unsaved person, don't expect them to really absorb a lot of what we talk about. They'll hear the gospel, though, and they can be saved. But that's it. They can't move on beyond that. They can hear some things that might pique their interest and they'll have questions. But you need to be saved. And salvation begins with faith. And not just faith. I sang to Amber and Jaron and Chris, I think it was last Wednesday, a song. Good. We were talking about how some of the songs people sing and there's like nothing to it. And you remember Elvis. How many of you remember Elvis? How many of you knew the number one Elvis impersonator in Las Vegas is Greg Miller? If I do say so myself. Not actually me, but it's his name. His name's Greg Miller. But, you know, just because Elvis sings a song, I mean, you know, people sing it in church if it's a gospel song. Some of the gospel songs he sang a song that, I believe for every drop of rain, a flower grows. Elvis had a better memory than I do. I almost forgot the last word there. And I was telling them, how stupid is that? If every drop of rain produced a flower, we'd suffocate. Yeah, and that song is just about believing. Not in the gospel. Just believing, you know. And you might as well sing, you know, The Sound of Music. The hills are alive with the sound of music. Amen. Praise the Lord. I mean, those songs don't mean anything. And that's what some people just believe. And you say, do you believe in God? Oh, yeah, I believe in God. Then you ask them to explain what that means. There's nothing to it. They just believe in God. That's not the faith that we're talking about here. It's also not faith in your faith. That's the word faith thing. I believe and I name it and I claim it. Mark says, I believe that my truck is going to be a big pile of gold bricks after church is over. I name it. I claim it. Wouldn't that be great? I wouldn't even bother with the offering box.
For solid King James Bible preaching and teaching, along with the encouragement of the Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, tune in to our internet radio station available every day, 24 hours a day, at bbfohioradio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states, and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at bbfohioradio.com.